Joshua's long day. The submission of Gibeon filled the kings of Canaan with dismay. Steps were at once taken for revenge on those who had made peace with the invaders. Five of the Canaanite kings entered into confederacy against Gibeon. The Gibeonites were unprepared for defense and sent a message to Joshua at Gilgal, "Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us." The danger threatened not the people of Gibeon alone, but also Israel. This city commanded the passes to central and southern Palestine, and it must be held if the country was to be conquered. The inhabitants of the besieged city had feared that Joshua would reject their appeal because of the fraud which they had practiced. But since they had submitted to Israel and had accepted the worship of God, he felt under obligation to protect them. And the Lord encouraged him. "Fear them not," was the divine message, "for I have delivered them into thine hand, there shall not a man of them stand before thee." So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he, and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Scarcely had the Confederate princes mustered their armies about the city when Joshua was upon them. The immense host fled before Joshua up the mountain pass to Beth Horon, and having gained the height they rushed down the precipitous descent upon the other side. Here a fierce hailstorm burst upon them. The Lord cast down great stones from heaven, they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. While the Amorites were continuing their headlong flight, Joshua, looking down from the ridge above, saw that the day would be too short for the accomplishment of his work. If not fully routed, their enemies would renew the struggle. Then spake Joshua to the Lord, and he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. The sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Before evening fell, God's promise to Joshua had been fulfilled. The enemy had been given into his hand. Long were the events of that day to remain in the memory of Israel. There was no day like that before it or after it, that Jehovah hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation, at the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation, thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Joshua had received the promise that God would overthrow these enemies of Israel, yet he put forth as earnest effort as though success depended upon the armies of Israel alone. He did all that human energy could do, and then he cried in faith for divine aid. The secret of success is the union of divine power with human effort. The man who commanded, "Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon," is the man who for hours lay prostrate upon the earth in prayer at Gilgal. Men of prayer are men of power. This mighty miracle testifies that the creation is under the control of the Creator. In this miracle, all who exalt nature above the God of nature stand rebuked. At his own will God summons the forces of nature to overthrow the might of his enemies, fire and hail, snow, and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. We are told of a greater battle to take place in the closing scenes of earth's history, when the Lord hath opened his armory, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. The Revelator describes the destruction that is to take place when the great voice out of the temple of heaven announces, "It is done." He says, "There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent."